Any time, any season is the right time to be with you. Hello, Detroit. You've won my heart.
Yeah, what up, Detroit? Detroit.
Now everybody from the 313, put your motherfucking hands up and follow me. Everybody from the 313, put your motherfucking hands up.
Detroit basketball.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, Detroit.
Yo. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to another beautiful episode of Pistons Talk. I am your host, David M. Allen, live on this beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning here in Detroit. It's snow on the ground, snow on my trees, snow on my car. I'm just a young Californian who doesn't know any better. And to me, this is still exciting. I'm like a little kid right now, running outside, dancing around, as you've probably seen on the couchsports.com. Yeah, it's snowy. I'm the only person probably in Michigan excited about this. As excited as I am right now. But anyway, we had a game last night, and another stellar performance by one Andre Drummond. Back-to-back 20-20 games for the second time in his career. Against Charlotte, he had 26 points, 20 rebounds. Last night against the Timberwolves, he had 22 points, 22 rebounds. He was a lot more aggressive than usual last night. I think he's as frustrated as I have been, or if not more, since he's the one who has to deal with it, in regards to not getting the ball when he should. On one particular play in the third quarter, I seen him get great position down low, and KCP failed to give him the ball, and then KCP swung it to Reggie Jackson, and as Andre marched over to give a screen to Reggie, he was barking at KCP with his hands out about not getting the ball, and that's what he should do every day until he gets the touches that he needs. Time and time again, I see that man calling for the ball. Time and time again, I see him with great position, and everyone thinks they're a shooter. Everyone thinks they're Steph Curry. Everyone is firing wild three-point shots, contested three-point shots. It's kind of wild, actually. But last night, karma shined bright on Andre Drummond, and he got his last night, and he had another stellar game as the Pistons blew out the Minnesota Timberwolves by 27 points. End score was 117, your Detroit Pistons to 90, and it was a sweet victory. Six people scored in double digits, led by Andre Drummond, as I stated. He had 22. Reggie Jackson had 16, only 4 assists, and I'm giving him a pass. He went 5 for 15 last night, and I was a little upset with his shot selection, as well as him only totaling 4 assists. But I'm giving him a pass because he's just coming back off of an injury, and he's trying to get his wits about him and knock off the dust and the cobwebs and get back in full-blown great leading guard mode. So I'm not going to get upset with him as I can get upset with, say, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. And I know you're probably like, hey, the Pistons won by 27. Cut everyone some slack. But no. The Pistons are now 13-12. And one game above 500. In my eyes, They should only have about six losses, at the max seven. This is a very inconsistent team. And I'm not one to rain on the parade after a win, but you're supposed to beat the Timberwolves, and you're supposed to beat the hell out of them, just like you were supposed to beat the Hornets. And as I stated in the last show, there are a lot of games before Detroit has to play the Warriors in Auburn Hills where you can rip off a bunch of wins, get a bunch of confidence, where you can rip off a whole lot of wins, build that confidence, and get ready for December 23rd showdown. But it's been a lot of inconsistent play. I've been a little upset about it. One game, they come out great. Next game, is no energy. Body language is bad. As I've stated, and I'm not shy about saying so, there needs to be a trade, in my mind. And you can do one of two things, if not both, if Stan Van Gundy could really pull this off. You need to really, really bolster that bench and get some scoring options. You can either do that or maybe shake up the starting lineup a little bit and get a real shooter, a real second scorer or third option. Just something really great, because Tobias is okay, but Tobias is a role player. I'll just keep it honest. He's not going to emerge and be a star, but he's solid. I know what I'm getting from Tobias. I'm going to get 15 points from Tobias. Every once in a while, I get about 19, maybe 20 points from Tobias. But I know what I'm getting there. There's nothing where I feel like, okay, he's going to get me 30 points tonight. On occasion, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope may get, he might score you 20 plus, maybe even 25 on occasion. But he's very inconsistent as well. And with him wanting $20 to $25 million a year, you need to go out and score 27 points a night, in my opinion. In today's NBA, in today's generation, I should say, with everybody thinking they should get paid for being average and thinking they should get all the credit in the world for being inconsistent, but it being glossed over and you getting praised, I won't be surprised if someone offers him up that money. And if that's the case, I mean, hey, before the trade deadline, you know, get something in return. So, on to NBA trade rumors. And why this is funny to me, I don't know. Maybe because it sounds so damn far-fetched. But there's an NBA trade rumor, and at first I looked at it as, whatever. But then when I seen that Yahoo Sports has picked this up to discuss this, I had to treat it as, it has a little bit of validity to it. So the rumor is that that the Pacers may trade Paul George to the Detroit Pistons. And okay. Crazier things have happened. But first of all, why would you trade your star player to your division rival? It didn't have to see this man four times a year. That's first of all. Second of all, the steep price of it all, if this is true, let me break it down. Yahoo Sports. This is from Yahoo Sports. The details involve the Pacers sending Paul George and Monte Ellis to Detroit for Tobias Harris, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Stanley Johnson, and three, count them, three first-round picks. There are so many first-of-alls. Now, most people are going to be blinded by Paul George to the Pistons. Okay, here's the thing for me. It's the three first-round picks that doesn't sit well with me. I am not exactly fond of Tobias nor KCP. They're serviceable at best. And like I said, you know what you're going to get from Tobias. You're going to get 15 points. From KCP, you're going to get some inconsistent play. You're going to get 21 night and 7 the next night. And who knows on the third night. Plus, he wants a big-ass contract, and he's going to be free. Well, he's going to be a restricted free agent this summer. And I wouldn't give that man $20 to $25 million. And, in fact, like I suggested earlier, they should look to trade him anyway. But three first-round picks? Stanley doesn't do a damn thing anyway.
What's up, Stanley?
He got a whopping 2 points last night. He scored a monumental one field goal in garbage time. And at this point, I don't give a damn about Stanley Johnson anyway. I'd rather play Darren Hillard at this point. I would just rather. He brings a lot more energy. He has a decent shooting touch. He may even, I dare say, be a better player at this point. I don't think I'm too worried about losing Stanley as I'm. I'm more worried about these three first-round picks. What is it? This draft, the next draft, and the draft after? Or if it's like something far-fetched, like maybe 2017 pick, maybe like the 2020 pick and like the 2021 pick, some shit, something far where you won't thinking about it until that draft comes. But three first round picks, if you don't go take a couple seats somewhere, I get the Pistons are, and again, this is a rumor. This isn't, who knows if this is happening, and I get this is a rumor, but point being, I get the Pistons are moving downtown. You need a little more buzz. And Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson, and especially Andre Drummond, needs a lot more help. Paul George will be instant. Change around here. He would be a great addition. He would bring credibility. He'd be an instant scoring threat. And they'll automatically be some sort of a threat in the East. They wouldn't be one game above 500, I'll tell you that much right now. Monte would be a nice scoring threat. This would be a really solid team, actually, but three first-round picks, I mean, come on, man. In all seriousness, take a couple seats with that three first-round pick shit, so. That's a steep ass price, but we'll see. I'll stay tuned, just like you should. This should be a playoff team, no question. I was glad it was the Timberwolves last night, and you know, not a contender. Although, on a side note, I am very disappointed in Minnesota. I really feel as though Minnesota should be a lot further in their progression than they are. But I did notice some similarities last night. They had some quality players on that team. And, I mean, whoa, who doesn't know that? For 3 years, I've been screaming Minnesota should be a lot better than they are and a lot further along, so this shouldn't be much of a surprise. But I seen some similarities with the two teams last night, with the Pistons and the T-Wolves. I've seen they need to bolster that bench as well. They need to get rid of Ricky Rubio, or do as Detroit did and stick him on the bench like they did with Ish Smith, because he can be a quality player coming off of the bench and letting Chris Dunn start. Granted, Dunn is just a rookie, but it's similar to what Detroit was doing. They were ready for Reggie to come back. They were waiting patiently and stuck Ish Smith on the bench, as he should be. He may can start somewhere. He would have to go to Orlando or something like that. But Ish is better served off the bench on this team, only because Reggie is more of a threat with the ball in his hand as far as scoring and passing. And he's more of a dual threat, even on defense. That second unit is inept. So, therefore, you need someone to lead that second unit. And about John Luehr, and I'm talking to you, Jonathan, about you thinking you're Klay Thompson, and about you thinking you can just sit there on a three-point line all day, waiting on someone to swing you a pass so you can fire something up. Oh, man, this style of NBA is getting a little old for me. It's a little frustrating seeing people just fire off threes and wild shots and contested shots. No one cuts to the basket anymore. No one moves around. No one comes off of screens really to get a great shot. No one does anything but stand around a three-point line all day, waiting to fire up a low-percentage shot just for the sake of, you know, splashing something down or getting that extra point when you really don't need that, you know, especially when you have an advantage. It was times when I seen John Luehr with a much smaller man on him. Hell, it was times when I seen Andre Drummond with, say, Ricky Rubio or Andrew Wiggins or something on him, and he's not getting the ball. Everybody just wants to shoot. So I'm a little frustrated. It's not just John Luehr, but I'm tired of seeing him fire up threes. But it's everyone on his team who decides, hey, I want to fire up threes and I want to be that guy on the highlights, you know, knocking down four or five in a row, show me going on my own personal run, you know. I had a thought last night when I was thinking the Pistons should hire Rip Hamilton as a shooting coach. I know I read some news over the summer that he was thinking about a comeback, but in my mind, I think he would be a great hire as a shooting coach and to help young people like, you know, John Luehr and KCP and, you know, really this whole damn team. Hell, the hell would just naming off individuals. This whole damn team, learn how to select your shots better. To learn how to get off that damn three-point line and go get quality shots. To learn how to come off screens better. Work on that mid-range. I think John Luehr would be excellent from 15 feet out instead of 27 feet out or 22 feet out. You know, work between that, you know, 1 foot and 15-foot range. And for God's sakes, get more rebounds. Get in there. If you're going to play 28 minutes, get more than 5 rebounds. I get Andre gobbled up 22 rebounds last night. I get that. But hell, Marcus Morris ended up with 7. Why can't you end up with 7, 8, 9 rebounds? Especially when a lot of times you end up playing when Andre is sitting on the bench. So those are just my thoughts. I mean, I may be crazy. I might be in the mind frame of an old timer. I don't know. But these are my thoughts. And I just want to see more quality basketball. In my mind, if the Pistons decided to make more extra passes, to make sure they find the open man, to rotate better on defense, to find Andre when he's open. Just more quality, sound, fundamental basketball. I get it's not, you know, extremely attractive or sexy, or it doesn't get you on the highlights, but the Spurs had 5 rings last time I checked. They stick to the script. That's all I'm saying. I'll leave that at that, and I'll get back to more positive notes for you people. I probably drugged down with my my Generation X basketball talk. Oh, man. Anyway. So, like I stated earlier, Andre Drummond had 22 points, 22 rebounds. He was 10 of 13 shooting. He even went 2 of 4 from the free throw line. 8 of those rebounds were offensive, so there's that. The Pistons shot 50% as a team, which is saying something, because in these losses, they tend to shoot 40%, you know, or lower. Or, you know, it was a time when I seen them score or get around 44-45% and still lose. But, again, quality of shots, you know. They fired up 29 threes last night. So, with a team full of non-shooters, I mean, oh, my God, man. That's all I'm saying. I don't know. I think all this damn three-point shooting is crazy to me. It just is. For example, the Timberwolves shot 16 threes last night. They made three. Yeah, for you math wizards, that's 18%. Yeah, you tell me. Why? You have people like Zach LaVine, who thinks he's a sharpshooter, and he went 0-for-3. For some reason, Karl Anthony Towns was firing up threes as well. He didn't make one. Andrew Wiggins went 1-for-3. Chris Dunn, see, here we go, this generation, 0-for-4. And 0-for-4 from three-point range. Overall, he went 4-for-10, so that tells you if he wouldn't have shot those 4 threes, he would have been 4-for-6 overall, and that's a great percentage. That makes you look a lot better than what you ended up doing. That would have been a great stat line, but I digress. Ricky Rubio needs to be traded. He does. I don't know where to. I don't really care, but he's trash, and I'm tired of looking at him. There I said it. Well, I've been saying it, so sue me. Next up is the Philadelphia 76ers on Sunday. I'm grateful it's a home game. The Pistons do a lot better at home than they do on the road, and although I'm not exactly, you know, I don't know, the Sixers aren't exactly world beaters, and there's nobody I'm really worried about outside of Joel Embiid. And actually, that should be a blowout, but we'll see. It'll probably be closer than it should be for about three and a half quarters, so we'll see how that goes. The 76ers have lost 8 of their last 9 games. Overall, they're 5-18. This should be a blowout. They haven't played since Thursday, so between Thursday and tomorrow, that's plenty of rest for them to, you know, come into the palace all extra energetic and, you know, a little pep in their step. But this shouldn't be a game. I'm sorry, but it shouldn't. It just really shouldn't. There's no excuses for tomorrow. It really isn't. If it's not a blowout tomorrow, then that'll just prove my point of how inconsistent this team is. But this should be a blowout. You're supposed to beat the teams that are weaker than you. You're supposed to whoop the asses of the weaker, inferior talent. And here are the games before that December 23rd showdown left. You have the Sixers tomorrow, Mavericks on Wednesday, Wizards on Friday, December 16th. You have the Pacers, Bulls, Grizzlies. And again, in my mind, those should all be wins, but you know how that goes. There's a back-to-back. There's a back-to-back on Friday and Saturday of next week. The Wizards and the Pacers. And it involves a little travel. Wednesday, the Pistons have to play the Mavericks in Dallas. And Friday, they have to go to D.C. and play the Wizards, right? So Saturday, they'll be at home against the Pacers. So I'm more curious about how that's going to go because every time the Pistons have a game at home and then they have a game the next day and it involves travel, they lose. So I'm curious to see how it works when they play on the road first and then play home on that back-to-back and see if they have a little more energy and, you know. It's just games that they should win. For example, that Hornets game. You lose by 10 to the Hornets. I get it. It was in Charlotte. I get it. They're on the road. But their best player is Kemba Walker. And I love Kemba Walker. He's one of my favorite players since UConn. But the rest of that team is trash. So how do you lose by 10? I'll tell you how. 38% shooting. That's how. Going 4 for 27 from the three-point line. That's how you lose. Okay, so you know what? I'm just going to go all out with this. I'm not going to sugarcoat this anymore about this. Who should be... Stop shooting all these goddamn three-pointers. Tobias went 0 for 7 against the Hornets from three-point range. Why are you shooting 7 three-points? Why are you shooting 7 long-range, low-percentage shots? Reggie Jackson, 2 for 8. John Luer, 0 for 4. And they all helped contribute for that 4 for 27, and that was a loss. So, that's my point on that, but I digress. Like I've been saying, a trade is in order. Especially for that bench or just some help overall for scoring. Overall, statistically, they're doing well. They're doing okay, but it should be a lot better. But, yeah. And Marcus Morris got hurt last night. Not exactly sure what's wrong. He caught an elbow from Adrian Payne last night. And he looked to be bleeding. They put a towel on his face, and he never took the towel away. So I have to assume that he was bleeding, and shit looked like it hurt, man. He was on the ground for a long time. Marcus Morris is a tough dude, man. So for him to be laying on the ground, it had to be serious because he's not one of these cats that's out here flopping and jerking his head back every time, you know, a limb gets swung somewhere by accident, you know, trying to get a foul call. So it had to be a real thing. So I'm just waiting on some word back to see, you know, if it's broken, if he's going to, you know, miss the next game, if he's going to be wearing a mask on Sunday. So I guess we'll see. So I got to get out of here, you guys, and thank you for listening to Pistons Talk. I am David M. Allen for the couchsports.com. Enjoy the rest of your day. Peace.